Spirit Radio Podcasts.
On the line, I have Therese Davey for this week's home and lifestyle tips. And Therese, of course, the first thing I have to say to you is happy International Women's Day.
And the same right back at you. And that's my job of the day, actually, is to go out there and call people. Some women don't have the privilege of celebrating Mother's Day, for instance. And it could be a chance to call them and say Happy International Women's Day, an elderly neighbour, a relative who are living alone. Might be a chance and an opportunity, an excuse to give that call and say, how are you, and do you need any stamps or anything, or Happy International Women's Day, I'm thinking of you. Just a little call today to someone who may need it. And also perhaps maybe say a prayer for women all around the world today, particularly the women who are forgotten and they don't even know it's International Women's Day. Just if you could spare 1 minute to say a prayer for them, and you never know who you touch around the world today.
Yeah, and yeah, praying for women around the world, as you say, who don't know it's International Women's Day. And as I was mentioning earlier, also for, you know, women here in Ireland who feel forgotten, there's often just a focus on one particular type of path that women can choose. But my shout out today is all hardworking mums who are working inside the home and outside the home, and that this day is for all of us. Okay, so one of the things that you're talking about today, Therese, is, and it's thankfully something we're becoming more aware of, is just buying Irish. We've been talking about it a lot during this pandemic, and there's been a real kind of wear the green jersey where possible. So this is a website of the week that you've picked out for us today.
And they're saying thanks to us. It's called thanksathousand.ie. McCambridge's, Butler's, Flavin's and Barry's Tea, some well-known names there, have come together and they're giving away 1,000 hampers to people. And all you have to do is log on and nominate someone you think deserves a wee hamper. And it's thanksathousand.ie. Couldn't be simpler.
Yeah, thanksathousand.ie, I love it.
And the other one that interested me over the weekend, Max Benjamin Candles, they're the first Irish candle company to create reusable candle inserts. And that can be annoying when you burn the end of the candle and you have this lovely jar and you haven't a clue what to do with it. You can't put jam into it and all you do is recycle it. But they have another way of recycling. They're putting inserts, they're selling inserts, and there's 20% off their website this week in advance of Mother's Day, and that's maxbenjamin.ie. Candles are lovely, and this is a nice idea to recycle, reuse.
Yeah, it's such a great idea, isn't it? Especially, hopefully it's a little bit cheaper as well when you're just getting the insert and you're not paying for the fancy glass.
Hopefully, and the postage and everything should be lighter, hopefully. But we're talking about repurposing big time today. And we dump stuff that we could actually use and we forget and we just automatically dump them. Simple things like the cereal liner bag that you never thought, Wendy, would you, that it has loads of uses?
No, go on. I thought the uses in the recycling bin, but you will tell me different, Therese.
Yeah, rinse out and dry the bag and cut a corner out of it and you can use it as a piping bag. So anyone decorating Mother's Day cakes this weekend and you don't have an icing bag, there you go. It's a great one. You can cut it into great squares because it's almost kind of waxy and you can stack things in them, baking things or burgers, and freeze them. You can wrap, you can put your bread into them and freeze them. You can use it as a leftover bag. It's a good solid bag and they're actually stronger than some of the plastic bags, those cereal bags. So you can use them for crushing crackers and nuts and things if you're baking without making the mess. They're stronger than a plastic bag. That surprised me, but it's true. You know when you get a net of fruit, Wendy, and I've spoken in the past about using it as a cleaner for cleaning dead flies and things off glass. But here was a really clever one. Put your knitting into one of these bags and thread the knitting wool out through one of the holes and it keeps your knitting together. You can use it as a scrubber. You can use it as a mesh bag over an old picture frame and staple it into place just to keep it safe and stretched out. You never think you could use an orange bag, could you, Wendy, again?
I love this. I love just things I would never even think of. What about butter wrappers?
Well, I did this yesterday with my 87-year-old dad. He was making an apple tart and we used the butter wrapper to grease the tray. And you can use it just very simply for greasing any kind of baking trays. You can also use it for separating things like meat in the freezer, again. Or you can put it on top of bread or rolls where it asks for a bit of melted butter. Just put the butter wrap on top and bake it for a few minutes and it melts into it.
Simple.
Gardeners have been using and recycling plastic containers forever. So I'm looking out the window at this very moment and I see four sweet cartons full of bulbs that were meant to go into our new office, but lockdown meant the building isn't finished, so I needed a temporary home for the bulbs, and I used the cartons, the sweet cartons from Christmas, and someone gave me some of theirs, and they're full of bulbs at the moment. Plastic food trays and yogurt cartons are great for seeds for this time of year if you want to get your children busy and growing. Rinse out the yogurt cartons and save them. A disposable razor. What did you think of that one, Wendy?
Yeah, go on. It's not something I need to worry about too much these days, but my husband uses them.
Getting rid of the pile from your sweaters. Just run it across your hats or scarves or T-shirts or sweaters that has pile on them, and it picks it up and
very
takes
good.
It away. Egg cartons. We used to use these as children for doing our times tables, but they're perfect for using, and wait for it now, I'm getting my second favourite word in here, organising and protecting small Christmas ornaments, organising things like Lego in your Lego box, or office supplies, dropping it into a box. You can use it for plants, and if you use the paper, the cardy ones, they're brilliant because you can actually wet the whole egg carton when the seed is growing and just drop it fully into the ground, and it melts away, it rots away into the soil. It's very clever. Another thing, tissue boxes. I never thought you could recycle a tissue box, but you can if you take the top of it. It can be used for drawer dividers. Can you imagine that one, Wendy?
Yeah. That's it. Now that you say it, it makes sense.
It does make sense. You can use it for storing your grocery bags and pull it out if you want to keep it in a drawer to keep them tidy. You can use it for, I thought this was a clever one, a small bin in your car.
Very good, yeah. And then I suppose you can just throw it all in the bin when it's full.
That's what they're saying. Newspapers, well, we all know how you can use newspapers. We've talked about it in the past.
Well, it's usually stuffed in wet wellies in our house.
Brilliant. My mum used to always tell us get out of those wet shoes and stuff them with paper. And they say use shoes because it absorbs odours. I never heard of that before, in your shoes to absorb the odours. Or you can use it for cleaning glass and mirrors. We always know that one because it doesn't leave a streak. And the little fibres of the ink makes it easier to clean as well. And finally, paper bags. We know we can ripen fruit faster in them. If you put your bananas or your pears into or apples into a brown paper bag and into the cupboard, things ripen faster. But here was a clever one, making homemade popcorn.
Okay, go on.
Put in the popcorn. You can use it in the microwave. If you need to divide up your portion of homemade popcorn that you make in the microwave, you can use your small bags and make individual little portions in the microwave. Maybe get the children involved in first step cookery, microwave cookery for children.
Very good.
And that's it. And there's a couple of recyclable ideas, and I really would love to hear some of the listeners. I'm sure people have really original ideas out there. Tell us.
Spirit. We thought today, as it's International Women's Day, we wanted to highlight particularly important work with my next guest. It's a charity that provides residential accommodation and indeed support to homeless pregnant women and new mums in Ireland. On the line to tell us a little bit more about their work, we have Marion Bernard, who's the CEO of the charity called Anew. Marion, good morning to you.
Good morning. Delighted to be here with you this morning.
Do you know, Marion, as listeners might know, I'm 4 or 5 months pregnant myself, and I find it hard to imagine the struggles that a woman who is pregnant would face when they're, you know, it's hard enough as it is, but also if they're at risk of homeless or they are homeless. Tell us a little bit about some of the realities that these women face in your experience working with Anew.
The first thing is that a lot of people might be surprised about is that women are actually become homeless as a result of their pregnancy, a direct result of the pregnancy. So they're not homeless before this. Sometimes you might think that someone who's homeless becomes pregnant and that's the kind of person we'd be seeing, but not at all. They could be in accommodation that's suddenly not suitable for a baby. They may actually be thrown out of their home because of being pregnant. That still happens these days. There is still a stigma attached to unmarried pregnancy in some communities, surprisingly. Also relationship issues can be a problem, and a pregnancy can exacerbate those type of things. Another common thing is, unfortunately, domestic violence, and that can, you know, be happening, and then it can escalate when a woman says she's pregnant and she has to, you know, leave that accommodation. So, you know, these women are often very isolated. They don't have any support, well, very little support systems in place. So, you know, they come to ANEW and we're able to help them with that.
Because when I think of even Marianne, for example, a homeless accommodation that already exists, before even thinking about a woman who is vulnerable and pregnant, there are often places that in some circumstances wouldn't be seen as safe for anybody.
Yeah, definitely. And some of the women that come to us have, you know, they come from other homeless accommodation, which just isn't suitable. They feel very unsafe. There's quite often, you know, addiction issues going on with other people. They're sharing facilities. They could be sharing a bathroom. So obviously, if you've got you know, pregnancy related sickness, or as they call it, morning sickness, can be any time of the day. You know, it's difficult to be sharing a bathroom. It's difficult to be, yeah, in that situation whenever you're pregnant and feeling very vulnerable anyway. So so in our accommodation we have you know, it's all pregnant women and or else new mothers and their babies, and they all have ensuite accommodation. And then we have professional staff who are there to support the women with any issues that they have, so be that pregnancy related issues or supporting them with anxieties around new motherhood, mom and parenting kind of classes that we offer them, one to one as well, and also budgeting. And then we help them as well find secure accommodation for when the baby's born.
Yes, that's really practical stuff, Marion. I know that the charity was set up in 1981. How much has things changed then, just in terms of the needs that women who are in this situation have, or has it changed much?
Well, I mean, obviously, this, I suppose the environment in Ireland has changed a lot since the 80s. You know, the situations women found themselves in when we opened were somewhat different, in that obviously that, you know, just in Ireland as a country, it was, you know, that the unmarried mother thing was totally unacceptable. And ANEW was I suppose it sprung up to give those women practical help, you know, with their pregnancies and new motherhood. Those women still need the practical help, but it is for different reasons now. It tends to be like we have recognised homelessness as a particular problem, because if you don't have a safe home to go to, then really you're kind of having a very bad start. So, you know, we're linking it in with the homeless piece now, whereas before I think it probably was more of a social issue, really.
Yeah, and that's what's changed more. As you say, you're really trying to meet those needs, the practical needs, but not just practical ones, emotional needs as well. What about just some of the experiences, Marion, that you might share with us, just some examples of feedback about just the impact that your work has had on these women in Ireland?
Yeah, well, I suppose they, I mean, we got a card, actually, a Christmas card there, just last Christmas, from a woman who'd been through the service, and she had attached a photo of her 7-year-old son, and they were, you know, he was in first class at school, and they were in their home, and she just expressed how wonderful it was that, you know, to have got this outcome from a very lonely start to her pregnancy, where she was all alone and nowhere to go. And she came into our accommodation, and our staff are all so nurturing, and they're like a cluck of mothers around the women, and they just really support them. And then, as I say, finding the house, you know, we've a brilliant housing officer, and she goes out, and she gets the woman an eligibility for a house, because there's a bit of paperwork to be done to show your homeless, and then, you know, she gets them moved in. And then we also go out and make sure that the tenancy is sustained, then that the woman is able to manage. Because so, sometimes, you know, it's some of the difficulties kick in even when they get into their own home, and they just need a bit of extra support there. So we really follow it through. It's intense intervention, early intense intervention that can really change the outcome of the woman and her child's life. You know, it gives them a really good start. And, you know, if they don't get that, then things can really go wrong for them. So, Yeah, it's really important. We get tenancies for about 80% of the women that come through our house. We only have 4 beds, so we don't have a very big service, but we can kind of get them in quite quickly, get them in and out quite quickly, so they can come in pregnant. And sometimes we can actually get the house secured for the woman before she even has the baby. And as I said, then that means that there's, you know, there's a space for somebody else to come in.
Yeah, and you're doing the practical kind of hard work involved, I'd imagine, in trying to move on into her own accommodation. And just in terms of who your services are available to and where you are, Marion, you might share that with us.
Yeah, well, we're available to... Well, actually, the service at the moment is based in Dublin. We do have some limitations to who can, you know, become a resident of our house. So you have to be homeless through one of the 4 Dublin local authorities. But anybody who is struggling can contact us, and we will always, you know, point them in the right direction or help as much as we can. We would love to extend the service. We'd love to get more beds. 4 beds isn't very much. And, you know, we're always trying to kind of extend that, and we'd like to get further afield.
Presumably that's about fundraising, Marion.
Yeah, it is about fundraising. It's there's always the, you know, to get sustainable funding, really you need to really get government funding in place for that. But fundraising is something that we have a charity shop, and we do some trading income ourselves, so we've always sort of tried to be as kind of self-sufficient as we could be in our fundraising. But with the pandemic, we are, things have obviously dropped a little bit. So any support from the public is very welcome. And on International Women's Day now, we are really going to share some of the stories with on our Facebook page and Instagram. And, you know, if anybody wants to have a look and see the great work, if they feel like donating, then be very welcome.
Yeah, which is great that people can connect up with the work that you're doing. Well, Marion, thank you so much for joining us and for telling us about Anew and for the work that you're doing. And hopefully people will see some of the stories online and will support your work. The easiest way, I presume, is to go on the website, is it?
Yeah, we have a donate button on the website, so that goes through iDonate. And then, you know, if anybody wants to do any kind of an event or anything, if they'd like to support our services, if they contact us, just contact our centre in Dublin, and we'll link in with them, and we'll help them in whatever way we can.
Thank you so much for joining us on the programme today. That's Marion Bernard, CEO of the charity Anew. If you want to find out more information about the work that they do, or indeed you want to support the work that they do, you can go to their website, anew.ie. Well, what better way to really celebrate International Women's Day than to support a charity like that, that is doing all they can to support women in vulnerable situations. Spirit. Have you ever wondered what life might have been like for women during the time that Jesus was alive, or indeed pondered on the reality that Jesus was kind of a trailblazer when it came to women's equality and how he treated women when you put it in the context of how women were seen in general at that time? Because he gave, for example, key roles to women that are highlighted in the Bible. So we kind of thought, it's International Women's Day today, so let's reflect on that and talk about why Jesus' inclusion of women is so important for us to think about today. With me on the line, I have Julie McKinley, who's a Development Officer at the National Bible Society of Ireland, who's going to help us navigate our way through this. Good morning to you, Julie.
Good morning, Wendy. Thank you. It's lovely to be here with you again this morning.
So what was life like for women during the time that Jesus was alive?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Jesus is, of course, Jewish, as is Paul, and many of Jesus's early followers are Jewish, as well as many of the writers of the New Testament texts. So when we ask that question, what we are looking at is, or what we're asking is what was life like for women in first century Judaism? And women would, of course, be associated with what we might consider as traditional roles, such as motherhood and domestic duties. But these roles mustn't be undervalued, as in the ancient world they would have been vitally important. And daily life would have included water gathering, which we can see in Jesus's encounter with the Samaritan woman, for example. or food preparation, which would have included the making of bread. And even today in traditional Judaism, a meal is considered a meal with the addition of bread. So bread was a vitally significant symbol, but also then roles such as midwifery was almost was a role reserved almost exclusively for women. And an interesting fictional account of that can be found in a book called The Red Tent, which looks at Dina, the daughter of Jacob, and explores what life was like for women at an earlier time in Israel's history.
And what about, Julie, just the general attitude towards women in society, especially from men? Do we know much about that?
Certainly, women would have been, like I said, put into more traditional roles, and often wouldn't have been allowed, maybe, to study or read or write. So they would have had a certain value, but at the same time, would have been confined and restricted in that. And that's where we see Jesus actually as being a radical includer of women in how he responds to them through his ministry, and how he teaches and the relationships he develops with women and with his students.
Let's explore that a little bit more. So talk to me about some of those moments in Jesus' ministry that would have been considered at the time radical, especially with how he, the things that he, for example, entrusted to women.
Well, women, scholarship will say women were crucially important in the formation of what would have been seen as this new movement, the Jesus movement, this new Jewish movement in Jerusalem, in Galilee. And there are many women who feature prominently in that, in Jesus' life and ministry. There are women we are maybe less familiar with, like Joanna and Susanna. And then there are names of women that we're more familiar with, like the three Marys, Jesus' mother, Mary, of course, Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, and Mary Magdalene. So women are part of his cohort of students. Women are with him as he dies. Obviously a very crucial moment in the Christian story. There are women at the cross, and we can tend to romanticize the cross, but it was a brutal Roman method of execution. Women are the first to discover the resurrection 3 days later and are the witnesses for that. So they are present at these kind of these very key moments, and they share this news of the resurrection with the disciples. This world-changing moment in history, and this is entrusted to women, which is very significant for our conversation today.
One of the things that people might say that, yeah, that's really interesting in terms of the roles Jesus entrusted to women. But they might say, okay, well, why were the 12 disciples all men then?
Yeah, that's an excellent question and a really good point. And we must remember that we're speaking about the ancient world, and it's easy to impose the freedoms that we enjoy in the modern world onto an ancient society. So it's important to remember the context is one thought. But in addition to that, men were generally the close students of a rabbi in first century Judaism. So Jesus is a rabbi like others of his time, and men are being trained as teachers of scripture, which were roles reserved for men. However, within that, there are some exceptions which you can find. Ema Shalom and Bruria are two women who were very famous ancient Jewish scholars of equal scholarship. But in addition to that, Jesus did have female disciples. They're not included in the list of the 12, but they are his students. Mary, the sister of Martha, is one of his students who is criticized for sitting at his feet and learning. But she is clearly a student, and the crowds that he taught would have included many, many women, women were a fundamental part of Jesus' teaching ministry.
And in terms of just the overall context, is it fair to say, Julie, that Jesus was a radical includer of women?
Absolutely. Definitely we can say that Jesus radically includes women. We can see this in how he speaks to women and how he addresses crowds where there are women and how he responds. There's the story of the woman who has the issue of blood and how he responds to her and how he teaches. The fact that we've mentioned that women were among his students with him when he died and entrusted then with this earth-shattering news of the resurrection. These incidents show us the value and the worth of relationships that Jesus cultivated with women.
And in terms of just thinking about and bringing it to women listening today and thinking of International Women's Day and going, okay, interesting stuff, but how is it relevant to me and what can I learn from that today?
Yeah, well, today is obviously International Women's Day, celebrating globally the political and social achievements of women around the world. And so when we're thinking about Jesus and his ministry, we're thinking about the Bible. The Bible is a library of different experiences. The word Bible comes from the Greek word Biblia, which means library. So it's a whole journey of different experiences and stories and parables and texts which feature women. And very often in biblical texts, women are at the heart of a radical shift or a social change. And we see this with Esther, for example, or with Ruth, or with Yael and Tamar, two lesser known figures but are significant. So the Bible, and in that Jesus's ministry and life, show us the significance of women and sometimes a paradigm shift which is necessary, and that women are crucially important in the formation of early Christianity as well.
It's something really good for us to just kind of ruminate on and think about today, and I'm sure Juliet's got a lot of women going, okay, I want to explore this idea of women in the Bible more. For women who are listening that they've never really heard some of the stories that you've been telling or explored some of the women in the Bible, what's the best way to start, especially for women who mightn't have opened a Bible in years? Where should we start?
So the Bible Society UK have developed an excellent course called the Bible Course, which takes the Bible as a whole story and unpacks it in a very accessible, easy way, because it is true that it can be very difficult to just pick up a book and start reading and examine something that maybe you haven't really thought about before. So the Bible Course is really excellent for that. And also the Bible Project is another really good tool on YouTube, which unpacks so many different dimensions of scripture and individual characters and some of the women that we've mentioned, and it's animated as well. So it's very accessible, and it's a good place to start thinking about some of these things.
Thank you so much, Julie, for joining us on the programme today. That's Julie McKinley, the Development Officer at the National Bible Society of Ireland. If you want to find out more about their work and their courses, you can go to the website nationalbiblesocietyofireland.ie.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.